Log Talk Radio.
Yo, I'm Tommy Bong. He's Danny Tokes, and this is The Stash. Danny will be joining us in just a few. Tonight's going to be a great episode. We have our intern, Johnny Bud, going to be on doing the Buds report, so that's going to be awesome. He'll be on in just a few, so that's going to be sweet. And if he digs it, we'll make it an every time thing. You know, that's how it goes. So what's going on with Danny here, guys? I'm going to batter on, talk to myself till he calls in here. Connect that into that. Type that in over here. And he is on the line. Yo, Danny, welcome to the show.
What's up, guys?
What up? So you're a reverend now? What's up with that, dude?
Oh no, I just got a I became an ordained minister, bro.
That is crazy.
Yeah, that
is intense, man. So Reverend Danny Tokes, I dig it.
Yeah, I guess you can call me a reverend now, huh?
Preach Danny Tokes.
Yeah. Preach.
That's crazy. So was it just one of those online things? Would it take all night or
Yeah, hours? You just gotta fill out some information. It's free to get it applied to you, but you gotta like pay $34 for the certificate or whatever.
Okay, that's what's up.
And so now I can legally in all 50 states I can marry, bury, and baptize.
Oh wow!
No.
All right. If I ever decide to get married, bro, I'll hit you up.
Yeah.
But I was just letting them know,
to get
man.
Married and you know, if gay marriage ever becomes legal.
Hey, I told you that in private. All right. I'm just kidding. Kidding, listeners, kidding. Anyways, I was just telling everybody about our new intern, Johnny Bud. His background a little bit. He's the one that won the intern contest, right? Like, I think he sent in an application or some shit. I can't remember. I think it said, like, I will smoke with you guys, and then I was like, he wins. So now we got Johnny Bud as our intern, but...
He said he smoked
under
the jewels, so we had to
fucking
bring him on just to see if it was possible.
Yeah, so we had to bring him aboard. And we give him his own little segment. So, Johnny, join us, bro, and let us know what's going on with the Bud Report.
Hey, man, thank you. Thank you for having me here. A pleasure. How you guys doing?
We are totally awesome. He's a reverend now. I just smoke a lot of weed, so we're good.
Yeah.
How
I connect with my higher
He has
power.
God on his side.
Yeah.
So.
Watch your shit.
Yeah. Funny fact, guys. Generation Z, they prefer weed and shrooms over alcohol. More than our generation, millennials.
I can see that. Alcohol is kind of
really
taking a backseat nowadays. I know, I kind of am too.
So,
it sounds like Darth Vader's like right behind him.
He's trying to go down on Miss Puppet.
Is that the sound I'm getting? Okay, I can see that too.
Yeah.
I'm getting more like...
I knew you'd find it familiar once I mentioned it.
So I guess he's a meme-hungry, gender-fluid generation. You know, they're kind of reshaping culture and society, like social media, shopping, and stuff like that. So they have a big impact. So I guess... them being, you know, more pot-friendly than alcohol-friendly in this generation than our generation. So now we have the alcohol
right.
company, you know, like Boston Beer Company. Yeah, they're making THC beverages now, introducing it in certain states. You know, so it's opening up doors.
It sounds like
somebody's
told me about some THC beverages before. I think somebody's stealing one of my friends'
yeah.
ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can't just put a finger on it, but I think he's a good friend of the
yeah,
show. In fact, I think he's been on the show a few times.
Yep. I think he might have made a slight investment into the energy drink business. That was a little unsuspected, but I guess he's, as our friend has said, it seems to be doing all right. Waiting on FDA approval.
There you go.
So, so Generation Z, we call them, I guess, today's world, Zoomers and Digital Natives.
Zoomers and Dingleberries, what?
I guess they're called Zoomers or Digital Natives. But
okay.
Anyway,
hey, is there something we could do about his connection or something? Because I really can't even hear what he's saying.
That's on his end, man.
Is it?
Do you have this on speaker?
You know, I have you on my headset.
Ah, that's
Try
what's going
talking
on.
Without the headset.
Yeah.
Hello.
Oh,
can
you
hear me
better? Oh, yes.
Significantly better than when you had your headset on.
Yes. Oh, yeah. For sure.
Wow, that's a first.
All right. Anyways, back to what I was saying. I guess our generation was we're more down to party, I guess, more than this Generation Z fucking generation.
So you're trying to say this new generation's
a
bunch of pussies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they're like, no alcohol. I mean, no like alcohol. We want THC. So,
yeah,
there's nothing wrong with
that.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
As many cells as humanly possible.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. Drink a beer, too, but, you know, I mean.
Oh, when I was 15, 16, I was drinking enough to kill a full-size village, so.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
I was doing full.
But see,
like,
we were mixing it,
like,
though. We were mixing it back then.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you guys, they don't want one or the other. They're not.
Well, do you think it's because it's easier now to get THC products? I mean, you think that's a big part of it? Because back in our day, they didn't have all the THC bullshit out and about. You can just go to the gas station and get type shit, you know?
Oh, yeah, no. That is definitely one of the main reasons why the people are. I mean, there's a lot of people. The old generation now. I mean, have you ever been into dispensaries lately? Like, there's old people up the ass in those damn things. Like, 60, 70
Well, yeah,
years
they
old,
realize that
old.
Arthritis is, you know, treatable with marijuana and that Ronald Reagan was full of shit.
Ronald Reagan was full of shit.
Yeah, the whole Nancy Reagan just say no was a crock of shit. And they're old enough to realize that there's good that comes from this versus all the whole your mind's going to blow up, you're going to get high and kill your friends stuff, you know. That was all bullshit.
So Reefer Madness was a lie?
Yeah, Reefer Madness was a big hype of nonsense.
Oh, yeah.
So we all agree Reefer Madness sucks.
Yeah, Reefer Madness was ridiculous, and Ronald Reagan was full of shit. I mean, it was just...
And kids nowadays, keep on the smoking and drink a couple beers as you do it. Don't be a pussy.
Yeah, but even when they smoke and drink, they're pussies. It's like they have White Claws and vapes, bro. Like,
I know, man. Like, you can't even make these kids look tough nowadays. It's so sad. Like, yo, grab me a White Claw and hand me a vape. Like, what was it? Kiwi,
yeah.
Pineapple. I mean, the kiwi pineapple vape.
Yeah. Only digital gamers like that.
I totally missed that. What was that?
Pussies.
Digital zoomers. They're digital natives, but or zoomers. I'm gonna call them zoomers
it's
now. You're zoomers.
It's a play on boomers.
Is that like a? Is it like the generation after boomers? Is that what that's supposed to be?
Yeah, it's supposed to be this generation, dude.
We're like at the end of the we're like the beginning of this generation, but we don't really count as the snowflake generation because like our era of it was still affected by the generation before,
kids.
If that makes sense. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we still were getting the generation before. Now once you hit say 97, 98 and the kids are being born after then, 2000 for sure, it's all snowflakes. So.
It's just different, man. And that's the thing is, like, when I was a kid, I was raised by my grandparents, you know what I mean? Who raised their kids.
Yeah, true.
I was raised by my grandmother.
Yeah, and so my parents were both from Arkansas and Southern Baptist, and they believed in two things, Jesus and beating the shit out of their kids.
Are you a reverend now?
They were. Yeah, no, I couldn't get away with it. Honestly, bro, the license was just to keep my family happy, to get them off my ass at Thanksgiving dinners. When they try to ask me, like, have you been to church? I'd be like, are you a reverend?
I have it. And then when they ask, he's like, I have a church.
Yeah. Wherever I go, I am the church.
Yes.
I'm an
ordained minister
now, bro. Hey, I have seriously given some consideration to starting a cult.
I'm in, bro. Can I help out?
Yeah, no, definitely.
I'm down.
I
can talk people into drinking Kool-Aid. You know me.
We're not talking. That's not an advertising point that you want to lead off with there, man.
Come on. That was my leading pitch. Come drink the Kool-Aid.
Like, I can get people to drink Kool-Aid.
Drink
we're starting a cult.
Drink Kool-Aid,
I don't think
Danny.
The
come drink the Kool-Aid with
built,
Reverend
like,
Danny Cook.
Yeah.
Come drink the Kool-Aid with Reverend Danny Cook.
It will not kill you.
It will not kill you.
We got some popsicles in the basement, you know, all the good kinds,
yeah.
Like those
you boys
orange
want some
ones and the blue ones.
You got special popsicles. I got some Kool-Aid in there too. If you want to take a sip.
What's the next headline?
What kind of cult would you start?
What kind of cult would I start?
Me or Danny?
How I know?
Oh God!
Mine would be more like
a
Charles Manson.
Oh, see, no, I would not go the Charles Manson route. That ended up horribly for everybody involved.
You know me though.
I have a little more foresight.
It would just be a weed. It would just be a lot of weed, and like Dr. Pepper. So they would be too lazy to kill anybody. But I would just have like a bunch of followers, you know.
Yeah, devoted to you with their lives. That's kind of the point, you know. Essentially, if I were to design a cult, it would be like this anti-government, free fucking, you know, not free love because I don't believe in that shit. But
you got to pay for the pussy, but everything else is free.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. Everything else is free. You got to know your market value. You know what I'm saying? No, if I was going to start a cult, it would definitely be like a, I don't know, man. What was that Wanderlust movie where they were like, you know, just a bunch of free thinking hippies that lived in this big ass house and just like didn't have electricity and shit. Yeah, that'd be basically what I'd do without the naked guy making wine. That part was just too much.
Well, every cult needs a naked guy making wine. Come on, bro. I got two.
I would have to disagree.
No, you got to. It's like the rules of the cult. It's not. You're not a cult unless you got
man.
A Mexican guy making wine. It's in the handbook.
I.
Yeah. You have to sacrifice
yeah,
goats every other month, and you have to have a naked
people.
Guy
We're
making wine.
We're not following the handbook. Yeah.
Dude,
that same handbook wrong. Has led to mass suicides and, like, multiple arrests. We're good. You know what I'm saying? That handbook is out the window. Charles Manson never saw the light of day. And he
oh, wait. Hold on. I just got to the last page. It says, do not drink the Kool-Aid yourself, but make sure your followers do. Okay. I think you're right.
Yeah. And only after they've signed over their life savings and property value to you. I mean, that's just rules number one. We could start something like
anyway,
the Mormon Church without the child-like rape and pedophilia.
Oh, this took a left turn out of nowhere.
Yeah, I tend to do that.
Anyways, I'm going to steer us right back on the road off of the cornfield of Mormon. And what is the second report you have for us, man, in the bug report?
Oh. Well, one second.
Let me look one up.
I got lost in that conversation.
Sorry, bro. We smoke a lot of weed, man. It's just this shit happens.
That's what happens, man.
Oh, yeah.
That's why this is called the stash.
Yeah. When people ask me, why can't you remember anything?
I guess,
brain trauma and ganja.
Yeah, lots of weed, man.
Yeah.
So, I guess Congress pushes cannabis changes for the athletes and Fed workers. Guess
oh,
they're...
okay.
That's a little
for
overdue,
the better.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, for the better.
For the better.
So what it is right now is that federal employees, no matter what state and what that state law is, they're not allowed to, you know, use marijuana even
sure.
if in the state it's legal for recreation because of their job, because federal guidelines supersede state guidelines and all that bullshit. So if you work
right.
and have a federal job doing anything. Corrections officer, fucking, you know, postman, you still can't smoke pot, even if you're in a state where it's legally available. And the same thing with athletes. Athletes are tested with drug tests before every game and periodically through the season. And if they come up positive for marijuana, it's a penalization and they can get benched. We've seen it with Jim Jones, the fighter. Yeah. Jim Jones also had crack cocaine, so that's a different thing. But
anyway,
don't do crack. Crack is bad. But yeah, like
crack
Michael
is
Phelps,
whack.
And you know you've got crack is whack. So the revamping of the laws allowing the federal employees and athletes to actually have the ability to use marijuana is such a big thing because, you know, athletes, it takes a big tear in their body. And one of the better things for them would probably be cannabis, whether it be topical, edible, and, you know, inhale it. Inhalation, geez, I couldn't say that straight. Because of the obvious positives that would come from it. But they're not allowed to because of, you know, how these rules are established. So I think it's about time
they gotta set an example.
Yeah, an example from a book that no one reads anymore. We're good, man. But this isn't the 1950s.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
Basically, I mean, yeah, everything's fucking out of whack these days.
Yeah, everything is.
Well, this kind
of the world that we live
this
in.
This
kind of
blends in with this a little bit. This one kind of blends in with this a little bit. Major League Baseball teams are now allowed to be sponsored by CBD companies. So that kind of, you know,
yeah.
leads into that a little bit because
well, yeah, that's,
it's all not
that's
frowned
what
upon
a game
anymore.
Changer happens right there.
Right.
That's what they're like. They just,
so
they
that's,
just got
that's
the going to
be awesome
right now. That's basically what they did.
And
we're going to have the,
you know,
the Colorado Rockies. We're going to have like the Colorado, I don't know, what's the Stonies or something. Yeah. I should have thought
you
that
know,
joke through before I started saying it.
You'd
yeah.
think they'd be more relaxed,
know.
Especially like the bottom left corner of the states, because it's all legal down this that corner.
Well, you see, the thing is, you know, and we've talked about this on the show before, you know, is the big glowing promise of legalization, but then when you start looking at the laws that allow the growth to be made, it's all through corporations. So you're talking big-ass
right,
money,
yeah.
man. You're talking big-ass money. I know that in some states you have to have a $500,000 liquid assets in the bank after building your setup, after everything. You still have to have $500,000 in the bank before you can legally start growing. It's just this kind of like rules and guidelines that they've established for the cannabis industry
oh,
are
yeah.
so far-fetched that the guys like me and you and everybody else that just want to do it on our own, it's damn near impossible. You know, and
yeah,
if you do it, it's going to be very hard. Like I said, you have to start off with like a breeding program, and it's a lot of bullshit. But when you're thinking of like CBD, you have to, I mean, look down the barrel a little bit. Those companies that produce CBD in all 50 states, when it's legal in all 50 states, will be producing THC. But you have to understand that yeah. it's going to be a product that was made by a corporation. It's just like anything else. When you mass produce it, you fuck
yeah.
it up. When you really isolate it down to a farmer, and when you start dealing with those people, that's when you start getting the really good product.
All right, another article I saw. It was like about like 30,000. I guess it was like 30,000 different strains that they've caught that were. Not, you know, not verified, like unlabeled strains, basically. Like, they're either...
Right.
Yeah, we kind of
not
touched
what
upon
they
that
are,
a little bit on the last show,
they...
but... Me
yeah.
and you kind of talked about
yeah.
that on the last show, but Danny
oh,
Topes
yeah.
wasn't involved in that one.
Oh, yeah.
So we didn't
right.
get
I
his
forgot.
Opinion
I
on that.
I
we all do, bro. We all do.
What?
But yeah, there's supposed to be. What did he? Was it 30,000? He said. I can't remember the whole thing.
Like 30,000, yeah.
30,000
mixed match labels.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
like where they're
know,
lying
I mean,
about what's
we,
in the weed and shit like that or something. And like just whatever names
yeah.
they're
yeah.
just putting on there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
it
kind of goes back to that story we talked about a few weeks ago. When we were in high school, I got a quarter pound of this really brown bunk weed, and we put that fucking drop stuff on it and sold it at the skate park as chocolate chunk.
Right.
Oh, I used to do the same thing and make a blueberry kush.
yeah, people will say,
Johnny,
say whatever they
yeah,
say
I was
going to
say, but Johnny Buds was saying on the last one, dude, tell him that story about the people that were selling selling THC and shit online or whatever. And when people were going to get it, it was like some fucked up, like, I don't know, bro, whatever it was supposed to be, fucking hash and shit like that or whatever you're saying.
Yeah. shit, I have a terrible memory. I think you'd remember better than me.
I mean, while you're thinking about that, these dudes, I mean, I've had people out here sell wax. And I've gotten, you know, I think one time I picked up 7 ounces of stuff. And
oh yeah, there's some fishy ass shit out there.
It was like CBD wax.
Yeah, see, that's what he was
man.
Talking about. He was talking about some people meeting over in El Centro to pick it up, and it was like some bad shit or some shit.
Oh,
eating,
yeah,
like,
yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, that was right. So we had these, there was the, I guess there were dispensaries in El Centro, right? And this is like when we had the medical card status. When, so you'd call and, you know, they'd be like, okay, cool. And then you tell them where you want to meet and what time. And then you drive up to El Centro and they meet you at a location for delivery service. But they don't actually have an address or a location or anything like that. And, you know, just, yeah, places like there apparently a bunch of those going around, not just in El Centro, San Diego, LA, you know, all the way up. So they were cracking down on that shit because they were, you know, obviously just selling whatever on the streets, getting like heat presses, making their own shit, you know. They just didn't have the scientific minds to do it the right way. They were just doing it for a quick buck. So it was kind of causing harm to that community on California side.
Especially when you start thinking, about things like carts and edibles and tinctures and things like that.
That's another thing that
they're doing.
Definitely, they're selling those counterfeit carts.
Yeah.
Put you in the hospital.
I got a hold of one time. Yeah, I got a hold of a cookie.
No.
And it was a cookie. And I had to, you know, after getting a hold of this thing, I looked it up. So just for a fun fact, Cookies brand does not make 1 gram carts. They only sell half gram carts. Cookies, actual Cookies carts, only come in 0.5. They don't come in 1 gram. They don't come in 2 grams. So if you're buying a cookie cart and it's in a little box and it looks legit and it's 1 gram, it's fake. So I bought a bunch of these, and it was weird because as soon as you screwed it into the top and you went to hit it, you got this like crazy lightheaded feeling, and it felt like your eyes were going out. And so like I remember cracking one open while I was driving, and I had to pull over because I couldn't see the road.
I think that was one of the ones that we got too. It was just like it wasn't like wax, it was like liquidy, you know, like
and that's what it was.
Did you guys find out what was in them?
Well,
what's that?
I took them back to my
Did
first.
Did you ever find out what was in
it? Went back and got a refund. No, we just took the whole lot back and we got a refund and never dealt with that person again.
Yeah, my situation was a little different. We had come across a few hundred of them, and we didn't pay for them, so we didn't have anybody to complain to. But we definitely didn't.
But you sold them to the next guy and made a little cash and moved on.
No, we definitely did not. We got drunk one night and we burned them. And I don't know, man, it was weird because we were standing around that fire and we were throwing them in the fire and they were melting down and it was crazy. But then all of a sudden our heads started hurting and like started feeling weird.
Like some fucking chemical
fumes. Like a big burn barrel right in front of us and a bunch of dumbasses drinking beer thinking it was a good idea to stand there and inhale the fumes from these poisonous fucking toxic carts.
Well, that sounds like old us.
Yeah, it was a whole mess. There was also the time that I'm pretty sure I smoked crack by accident, legit, out of a cart. I'm not kidding. I went to a smoke shop locally. This kid, they just came out with those Delta carts. And this kid was sitting there, and he worked there, and he was like, "Oh yeah, I've got some carts." And I thought we were under this conversation, like understanding that I was talking about these Delta 9s or Delta 8s or whatever they were. And he gave me this like pen to hit, and I remember hitting this pen, and I was like, "Oh my god, this tastes so bad!" And pretty much instantly, my ears went wah 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 wah, and my heart started racing. And I, like, looked at the fucking dude, and he realized that he fucked up, so I turned around and just laughed. And I went out to the car, sat down in the car, and my wife was like, "What the fuck is wrong with you?" I was like, "I'm, like, fairly certain I just smoked crack." "How the fuck are you fairly certain but not sure that you smoked crack?" I explained it to her. I was just a vision.
I don't even know what to say to that.
Good job on the crack.
All right.
So they got made. So basically, they're able to melt down a crack.
Yeah, pretty much. I guess.
What's that?
I guess that's what.
But it is.
Yeah. No. And that's the thing is they have. Yeah, you can put pretty much anything down in there as long as you can vinify it with oil. It's a horrible. It's consistent with like freebasing. You can freebase everything. So,
Anyways, before our listeners start shooting up, let's get the show going here.
No.
I'm going to ask you both this. What is your definition of street smarts?
Knowing your fucking place, that's for sure.
Your address? No, no,
staying
no.
Staying in your fucking lane, no.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
Yeah, okay, I get what you mean. Yes. Right, right. But,
I mean...
Also, you have to be fly a little bit, right? You gotta know your environment. You gotta be it one step ahead.
Definitely gotta know your route.
Shit like that. Right.
Yeah, you have to be perceptive.
Oh, yeah.
You have to, you have to be observant. I think that, I mean, my personal opinion of street smarts is it's gained by experience, man. And that's, there's no one person that can sit there and tell you, you know, handle yourself, you know, you're going to do it. It's something that you gain through experience, time. I've always told people in the streets, there's a reason you have 2 ears and one mouth. Listen and shut the fuck up. So
makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, out there, you're doing anything on the street, you're ignorant and you're blind and you're just stupid, you're going to get took, you're not going to be successful, and you're probably not going to be out there doing it long. You're going to be in rehab probably by the end of the week just to fucking get out of the street. So, I mean...
That's going to lead into some of what we talk about in a few. Because, see, what I was going to get in with the street smarts things is, today's topic is the highs and lows of street-level drug dealers or drug dealing. And I feel like you have to be street smart to be able to do this. Because like you said,
correct,
if you're not, what you just said would happen, you're going to get robbed, you can go to jail, murdered, anything. Turned out for tricks on the corner. I mean, a lot of shit can happen for you.
But I'll say this, like, I used to carry my stuff just only when needed, and there's one time I got talked into going to next to Mexico, and, you know, I never put it together because I was, you know, wasn't thinking clearly at the time. But, I go all the way out there, and I actually took all my stuff, ended up getting punked and robbed by a bunch of people, and you're going back into town and owing the guy $500. And I was dodging him, and he ended up finding me, like, right there on the side of Fourth Ave. And I had explained to him that my phone and everything got jacked, and I had to walk back, basically, from that Mexican border town. So, definitely. Street, you don't want to fucking do shit that's going to put your life or your freedom in jeopardy, you know?
Right. And
right.
if somebody trusts you,
you better fucking honor that.
Right. And your word and your balls, it's all you got. I don't bring mine for fucking nobody. You know what I mean? So
right. Because it's not like what you see in the TV shows. And it, like, you get to restart on the next episode and shit.
No. Once you've got your name pretty much smutted up, it's fucking curtains, it's over with. The background noise.
I know some people I know some people when I first met them were some hardcore motherfuckers, and then by the time a year or so later, I heard they were narcs and everything else, and it just, you just don't come back from shit like that.
Yeah, and that's how
even if it's not true, it's still, that's it, they're tainted, if that makes sense. So it's, you can stand up the store and be like, yo, what up? But, you know, if you're at a party and shit, it's one of those, like, yo, stay the fuck away from me type deals. You know, shit like that.
Right. And in all fairness, man, I've seen some of these gangster motherfuckers get pulled out of a party by two other dudes and beat the fuck up, pistol whip, jack, rob,
slap,
like a bitch. You know what I mean? And, like, I've also been on the giving end of that. I just have a personal kind of, like, perspective, and like we said earlier, you have to stay in your lane. Well, I know what my lane is. I know what my lane can do. I know where my lane goes, and I know how quickly my lane can get there. So for me, there's always been a kind of different approach. Personally, and I think that has a lot to do with my upbringing and my mentality. But that being said, I have been introduced to these gangster type motherfuckers and these dudes are supposed to be Billy Badasses and, you know, every other, you know, cliche name you can come up with. And they turn out to be soft as kitten fur and wouldn't bust a grape with Mr. Welch's permission. You know what I mean?
Right.
On a lot of these dudes. And that includes industry, that includes everybody.
Yeah, there's some fucking crazy people out there. I mean, I used to hang out at Hastings, right, before they shut that shit down. And,
oh, okay. For listeners that don't know, Hastings is a music slash...
bookstore, music store.
Novelty store.
Video game.
Novelty book. Yeah.
Yeah.
They got everything there. It's like a pop culture
store. It was awesome.
Store. Yeah, it was awesome. I do. Hastings was an awesome ass place. Maybe even had a food court.
I used to hang out
at
the cafe section.
Okay,
and,
I was doing,
you know, the hard stuff back then. Oh, this guy would come around like every once in a while. He had a gun on the side of his hip, just flashing and shit. And he would just always say that he's a, and like he'd tell us he's a felon, and he's always asking us where to get certain things. And we're like, you get the fuck out of here! Like you're a felon, but you're wearing your gun on your hip, flashing it. Like that makes no sense, bro. You know,
no, he's a cop,
and he just.
Shaved
bald head, clean face, you know, like twos, you know. He's like,
it's the cop from The Shield. That show, The Shield. It's the bald headed cop from it. Undercover.
Yeah. Yeah.
And every
like,
other
stereotypical
you're
like, that's what I mean. You have to be street smart because there's
cop,
people like. Yeah, me and my friends are like, okay, we already know, but like, there's people that left with him. Right. Like, goodbye.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
We have
yeah, man. I always told you, and I mean, you're Johnny, man. I think I've said this to you a many a times over the years. Stay aware, stay alive.
Yep.
Stay aware, stay alive, man. You're out there. You're not putting yourself in the best position as far as like your security. Your freedom is at risk. And that's where a lot of people get mixed up is they make these decisions where their freedom and their lives are at risk, but they're doing it for the reward of fuel pleasures, such as just getting high or just chasing it again for another day.
Right.
You know, they're putting themselves in these
honestly,
fucked up positions.
Yeah, yeah, I was homeless
for next to
six,
nothing.
7 years, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean,
I didn't. Yeah,
that's
but
not,
you know, sometimes I did
anybody.
Welcome jail, though. Was...
Yeah, and I mean, you got to think like when I was making the decisions that I was making, those decisions, if caught, were going to guarantee 10 years, 20 years. You know what I mean? In prison.
Yep.
And eventually, they did
right.
catch up with me. And 10 years, about 10 years inside, man, and. Crazy to think that I spent 10 years in a facility.
But you came out, changed your life. You're a reverend now. That's awesome. Think about opening a cult. That's even cooler. I mean, you got it going on now, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, life going on for you now.
I got married. I have two amazing kids. My wife is literally, man, my foundation. And these are things that I never would have achieved if I had a stuck to that street smart mentality. You see what I mean?
Right.
The
well,
real
see,
world had to kind of like leak its way in.
Here's the way I see life, guys. And this is where I see with you for sure is you got the enough street smarts and what they call book smarts or whatever. You got enough of it mixed together. You know what I mean? Like you know when you're
right.
doing something wrong, and it, like you and like you know the difference in shit. You can see the difference in shit, and to me that's even better than just street smarts is having that mixture of it a little bit. It makes you just that little bit more smarter than somebody that's street smart. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And you know one thing that kind of comes into that is in 10 years, about roughly 10 years that I spent incarcerated. I don't think I was on minimum custody, medium custody, more than a few months. That being said, I had a lot of downtime. I had a lot of time to myself, a lot of time with me and just my celly. And I found that education was something that helped bring me up out of it. You know what I'm saying? There's the saying, man, if you're going to be dumb, you better be tough, you know? And
right, yeah.
I felt like I was tired of – I felt like I was tough, but I was tired of dumb. So I took a few book correspondence courses. I mean, I always had pretty good general knowledge of stuff before I went to prison, but, I mean, I got 10 years of book learning. And when I came out, the effects of those things kind of went – it was going to go one of two ways. It was going to go really fucking good or really fucking bad. And it went really fucking bad at first. I took all that book smarts. I took all that knowledge that I gained in prison, and I used it in a criminal way. And like I said before, many times I've come out of that. But I would prefer to see a generation of kids get that education without having to be in prison. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
I got my GED in fucking jail because I was bored and I had nothing better to do.
Yeah, I mean, I was bored and didn't have nothing else to do, so I became a reverend.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
I'll send me the link.
We all make rad shit.
Well, see, we went over this. So what is some of the highs of being a street-level drug dealer who, you know, say you're doing good at it.
Street level drug dealer.
Let's just say you're doing good at it. Say you're doing good at it. You're making good money. So I mean, what money? What respect? Maybe a little ghetto fame. You want to call it?
You got a fan base. You get those loyal little lovers who will stack case and fucking do your laundry. You know.
Yeah, ghetto fame. That's what I want to call that. A little ghetto fame. A little hood fan, you know, something like that. But, yeah, I mean, did we lose Danny? Danny, you still there? We might have lost Danny, too.
We
might have. Danny, come back.
Danny, no.
Blame it all on me. Anyways, we'll drop into the ads, guys. While we're trying to figure out what's going on with Danny, maybe he'll call back in. If not, we got this. So Johnny, what we like to do on the show, because I know this is only your second episode with us, and you're just an intern now, and you're doing a great job. I'm getting feedback through the show, and everybody likes you, so you're doing good. So we're gonna do the ads.
I sound like I'm doing like shit. I feel like.
Nah, you're doing great, bro. You're doing great. I've got nothing but positivity from this show so far, so we'll stick with it. We're
going
to go to the ads, guys. You're good, brother. You're good. We're going to do the ads, but we'll wait on, and we'll jump back into what you were saying.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. Street-level shit, man, there's really no benefit to it. The only time that I found benefit from criminal gains, I guess we could say. Only time I found any benefit. Almost
breaking up.
Yeah, when it was at a corporate level, when you had substantial amounts of money invested, the risk is obviously higher. But I've always worked off of like a point system, so. For every one person that knows what the fuck you're doing, that's 10 points. By the time you reach 50 points, homie, you're done. 50 people know your fucking business, you're cooked. You're going to get cracked.
Yeah.
No one's going to tell.
It's going to happen. For
right.
Sure.
So I work off a point system.
I've seen it a million times.
Absolutely. Everybody has. If you've ever seen anything at all, you've seen motherfuckers get cracked because too many people knew their business. So while I was doing my criminal gains, I guess. For the most part, the knowledge of what was transpiring stayed in my head, in my pocket. When the payouts would come, I would take care of everybody that needed to be taken care of. But the money was good. The money was good. The at that level, the connections were really good because, you know, if I dropped my fucking phone and I somehow left my wallet, right? I'd use the old lady's phone real quick and have somebody deliver me a phone, a gun, and a car right then and there.
Mm.
And it was good. It was great.
Right.
That was fun. That was fantastic. That was probably the only time where anything was beneficial for me. Everything street level.
See, that's what I mean by the respect thing, though. At the time, it's like the money, the respect,
yeah.
and the little, you know, the little ghetto fame and shit, like we were saying.
Yeah.
It seems
even
so
the respect,
cool at the time.
The respect isn't respect; it's fear. Yeah, the respect isn't respect.
Yeah, exactly.
Now
that is the better term than respect. Fear, the fear.
Yeah.
I mean,
you guys knew me.
I am Batman.
You guys knew me back then. I was nuts. You know what I'm saying?
Never.
Yeah, right. So, like, the potential for me to be violent was always just a fucking hair's breadth away. And that wasn't respect. The space that people gave me, the acknowledgement that I was receiving, it wasn't fucking respect. People didn't respect me. Nobody fucking respected me. I didn't respect my goddamn self.
We were scared of you.
It was fear.
Scared.
This show's been
and
a deep episode,
fear, yeah, and that fear was generated because I was scared. Yeah.
Don't be scared.
I mean, that would be...
it's not that I was scared of you. I was scared of myself, my
life.
You're
scared of what you can be.
I was scared of turning out.
What you're going to become.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then when I became exactly what I was afraid of becoming, I fucking hated myself. Yeah. And I can, like I said, I can only speak from personal experience.
That's crazy. So you're going to also tell us a few ways of how they smuggled the drugs, correct?
Right. Okay, so we'll stick to the international stuff because the domestic kind of stuff, you don't want to fucking, you know.
Yeah, you don't get no ideas out there.
Depending on your toxin, depending on your poison, depending on what you're bringing.
Okay. Alrighty then. I think we might have lost Danny again.
Damn, his reception sucks.
Dang you, Danny. No, okay. While we're trying to get him back, I will jump into the ads, all right? You guys ready for this? Tired of being sleepy?
Ready.
No get up and go? Then don't panic with Dr. Logan Joint's new all-natural energy drink. Made with the finest buds around, mixed with just a tad of cocaine for the stay-up for days filling. So that's going to be good. That's going to be on all the shelves coming up this summer. And also, loss of taste and smell, aches and fever, test positive for COVID, fuck isolation, and come on down to germs, and germs. Remember, if you cough
you
on
there?
Me, I will cough on you, and 6 feet is for pussies. And those are the ads for this week.
Welcome back, Danny.
Man, welcome back, Danny.
My fucking phone, man. I don't know.
But anyways, you were explaining to us how smuggling internationally, or how they smuggle. So take it away, my man. Take it away.
Yeah, diesel trucks, semis, boats, planes. I mean, they have submarines. They have marines out there that are basically homemade, and they will go from places to other places. You see what I mean?
Hmm.
Yeah.
as inventive, see, I don't know how as, true inventive this is. As you could think possible.
Yeah.
Right. See, I don't know how true this is. I've heard this from like an OG back in the day. Like a an older OG, like way back in the day, that they used to like shoot it across from Mexico. What they would do is they would take it and put it in a tire and slingshot it across the river, you know, and there'll be a few people on this side of the border to catch it.
Right,
like a
right,
giant
right.
slingshot
and,
type
and you
thing.
Know, of course. Yeah, and you know, of course, that was way back in the day before we had fucking cameras put up on every border.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this was
thing.
Like, they said this was back in like the '70s and eighties and shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Back when you could get away with shit like that. I know that for me personally, when I was like, I don't know, I don't want to give it an age or a time up, but we would sit on the river and we would fish, and we would have like a little GPS, like a little screen, almost like a depth finder. And whenever that thing started beeping, we would take a gaffle hook and we'd throw it across the river with a rope on the end. And whenever that beeping got real fucking loud, you just pull it across. And what they would do is they would have tires with weights that the weights would maintain the buoyancy to float just a few inches under the water. But they would be cram-packed full of drugs.
Oh, wow.
There would be seven, eight tractor tires tied together with rope. And each and every one of them was cram-packed full of drugs. And as soon as that beeping got really loud, you pulled that hook across, you pulled those tires up in the back of that fucking truck, and you guys got the fuck out of there before Border Patrol showed up. We did that. Drones became a thing. Drones is now a thing.
Yeah,
drones.
Myself.
Yeah,
drones,
drones are now a thing.
Cameras are everywhere, dude. Like nowadays, you can't even talk without your phone picking up or Google picking up what you're saying. And when you go to search shit, it pops up in your search engine and shit. Like, you can just carry on a conversation around your phone, dude, and you go to look up fucking bacon the next day, and whatever you said the day before pops up on your phone. So, I mean, it's crazy how that technology is nowadays.
Yeah, the drones are no shit. I have a $400 one, and I can surveillance the fucking neighborhood if I want to.
You know, and drones keep a fucking eye on everything, but at the same time, we can also deliver anything. A lot of today's day and age that what we're faced with is actually not so much the new inventive ways of smuggling, but it's utilizing resources that are already available. And USPS, DHL, FedEx, UPS, these things that have been in service for 40, 50 years are honestly probably one of the biggest fucking means of transporting or, you know, getting drugs across the country or wherever you want to go. Back in my day, it was still, man, have a girl fucking show up. She's got 4 or 5 ounces shoved up her hoo-ha. She's drank about a 5 gallon bucket full of balloons. And
you're not lying.
She's packed on both ends, man. And you get her to the spot and you let her go to the bathroom, and 45 minutes to 2 hours later, she's got most of the balloons out. And you're good.
A couple of them get stuck, and you got to hold her down for a minute.
Yeah. Man, I'll tell you something, man. Working with some of the guys that I work with, you did not want to hold out on them. You know what I mean?
No.
They would tell you, that balloon doesn't come out, I'm going in after it. Simple.
Is that the truth? All right, man. Moving right along. The strain of the week. I'm going to let you take that one because.
Right.
Yep. The strain of the week.
What is it?
It was, hold on. Here we go.
I swear, guys, he researched this. He's not making this up as we go right now.
It's, no, it's G13. No, we had this. I had this all
Wait, what?
Yep. It's G13. Yeah. So G13, also known as G13, and G13 is a potent indica marijuana strain. I guess there's a lot of, like, urban legend that surrounds G13. There's a lot of people that said that at one point the CIA, FBI, other government agencies gathered some of the best marijuana from around the country that they'd, you know, seized. And at a super secret, like, science lab at Mississippi State or University of Mississippi, I can't remember, they came up with this hybrid. And this was supposed to have happened in the late 60s. But allegedly, a single cutting of this plant made its way out of this lab in Mississippi and was liberated and then thus named G13. It's an indica dominant. Dream and MKUltra were the two bad motherfuckers that came from it. So, you know, you've got definitely the good gene lines. It's pretty easy as far as, like, it's moderately easy to grow. It doesn't have a lot of stipulations or differences. Average yield, you know, per ounce per foot would be roughly around 3 to 6. The flowering stage does take about 12 weeks, though, so you have to be very conscious of the fucking long haul. The terpenes, I think, let me see, it was herbal, citrus, and peppery. So your terpenes, of course, were going to be more on the calming side. And I think it's averaging around 20%. Yeah, 20%. That's on average. So if you get somebody who puts a lot of organic work into it, you might be able to get it up as high as like 23, 24. And then if you got somebody that really doesn't know what the fuck they're doing, you get it down to 16 to 0. So it's
is it a 50-50 hybrid or?
If it's indica dominant. G13 is an indica. It's an indica plant. So
okay.
It's not a hybrid. But of course, that the hybrids that came from it would have been you know, Tangerine Dream, MK Ultra, which is indica dominant, but it's still a hybrid.
Yeah.
And so is Tangerine Dream.
Well, I know what seeds I'm going to get next.
Right.
Yeah. Similar, I guess, like, what you could say is, like, a similar to it would be great beat.
Okay. Well, guys, an hour is almost up, and I got a few fan questions to get to real quick. So, let's see. We'll do the fan questions. We'll pimp the other shows, and we'll all get stoned and slip off into that dreamland or something. I don't know what you guys got to do. I got to work tomorrow, so I don't know.
I got to work tomorrow, too, but I'm going to still smoke and do some stuff.
Yeah, same here. I'm pretty sure I'm going to smoke a bowl or two. But,
Fan question number one,
and I'll go ahead, whatever one of you guys want to answer it, or you both can. How much weed is too much weed? I'm guessing, you know, like, smoke-wise. You know, like, how much smoking is too much smoking? Me, personally, I believe
that's based on your tolerance.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, I mean.
That's based on your tolerance.
You take that
like,
hit,
I mean,
and you start,
if
and you start,
if you start,
you start just passing out right away, then, yeah. Yeah, that is true.
I mean, I can smoke
I
all day
with
without
that.
Getting anxiety attack, so.
Same here. But also, you're probably like me when it comes to smoking, and I've been smoking for, shit, dude, I've lost track years ago. I figured you probably have, too, so say at least, what, 15 years, give or take?
Me, 2006, when I started.
So
yeah, I'm like
20, 21. So, I mean, we've been doing it so long that it's just it's natural to us now. So, I can see
I've been smoking
for us,
20 years.
There is not too much weed. So, that's crazy, dude. Like, when you first start smoking, it doesn't seem like you're going to be smoking 20 years later, does it?
Yeah.
20 years later, who would win?
It's only thing holding you on to any bit of sanity and rationalization in life whatsoever. Yeah, I wasn't expecting this.
No, but nobody was.
I was talking this whole conversation, so I'll get it.
We all have.
Yeah.
Who would win in a smoke-off? Harold and Kumar or Cheech and Chong?
Cheech and Chong.
Cheech and Chong.
Harold and Kumar
and
are mythological creatures created for Hollywood. Cheech and Chong were genuine fucking potheads.
Yeah.
What he said.
Yeah, Cheech and Chong make
you, Harold,
themselves by
fuck
their
you, Kumar.
Characters.
Cheech and Chong go to White Castle should have been the movie.
No, because
I mean,
then it would have been fucking...
They could still outsmoke them.
Yeah, it would have been more like Cracker Barrel.
I can see
Jenny,
that movie going over. They're on the they're just like on the couch smoking before they get the idea to go, and it's like Cheech is like, "Yo, Chong, let's go to White Castle." Chong's like, "All right, man, White Castle." And then like he doesn't realize what's going on the entire time. He's sitting in the car smoking. They think they're on this adventure, and it turns out they're just still in the parking lot of their house or like a driveway or some shit, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. All right. Here, last question, and this right here I think is a good question. It's kind of worded weirdly. Sometimes our fans are stoned when they write our shit in. I'm going to see if I can decipher the wording. The way they have it worded is biggest disappointment of a strain you have smoked. But what they're meaning is what strain have you smoked that you were most disappointed with that you thought, you know, would be, you know, like, somebody's like, "Oh, this is a one hitter quitter," and it turns out it's not, or you know, something like that.
Biggest strain is a disappointment. Honestly, I can't really think of any because usually at that time I'm like, yeah, I don't like that, so I don't ever want it again. So it usually is like when I see it, I'm like, oh no, I used to not like that one. But I would say like platinum OG, stuff like that. That's just kind of bunk.
Yeah, and you know me, of course, I'm gonna get into it. Like, you know, it just depends on the grower, depends on the terpenes, it depends on the plant, man. I've smoked some cool strains that fucking, you know, one plant was really good and the other plant was lacking enough potassium to have the terpene profile that it needs. But I'd have to say, man, I got pretty fucking well set up with some fucking albino rhino. I think I bought a pound of it. Albino rhino, man. And it was like white rhino. It was a white widow offset shoot. They hyped the fuck out of it. It was garbage. I mean, it wasn't garbage. It just was not. I had just smoked some fucking blueberry kush the day before that was like 20 times better than that. I just didn't find the fucking kick in it. But it seemed like everybody that I was smoking with was really enjoying it. I just, myself,
you know,
I didn't find it.
It could have, I mean, that could have just been a, like a, what I like to call a high change or whatever. Like with me, I don't like getting the same type of bud every time because eventually you build up that tolerance for that. So the way I like to do it is like, I like to buy, you know, some of this, some of that, and not, you know, 1 week smoke this kind, 1 week smoke this kind. So they might have been getting high because
yeah.
That's just something new to them. But that's crazy.
Yeah, and you know, of course,
like sherbet or cake. Today.
You know, and some of the runts have been pretty fucking disappointing too. Yeah. I had a couple of runs that were just, yeah, like the strain runs.
Yeah,
pineapple
I've
runs.
Had that before. I, you know, I had it for a couple of waxes. I didn't like it that much.
Yeah, Fruity Pebble Runs was supposed to be this like insanely fucking like flavorful fucking bud that everyone was just talking about. How, oh my god, it's just so flavorful. And I don't know, man. I grew a Acapulco Gold strain that was more flavorful than that shit. And it tastes fruitier, and it has no fruity profile whatsoever. So I don't know, man. Just the rough and runs have been disappointing. A lot of that has to do with breeders, man. A lot of that has to do with the genetics. A lot of that has to do with the plants. And it also has a lot to do with your personal, you know, your profile.
Your mentality. Yeah.
Right. And how is sativa and all that affect you? I'm not very accomplished creature, but I do have like a set kind of like standard. My edibles have to be indica dominant. I don't do sativa edibles. I find that they're, yeah, I don't do sativa edibles at all. Tinctures, I'll do sativa tinctures. I like sativa tinctures. They work really well because they're a really concentrated dose of that energy-giving cannabinoids. But my smoke, man, my smoke, I'm like you, Dakota. I have to, or not, oh, wow, my bad.
No, you're good, bro. Everybody knows it's me by now. You're good.
yeah, that, but I have, I like to have different ones, man. I like to get different flavors. I like to get the different effects and mix it up.
And there you guys go. We answered y'all's fan questions. Y'all have any more, write us in. Y'all know all the shit to get in touch with us with that. We say it every other show. Guys, we went over an hour. That is awesome. I remember when I first started doing podcasts 3 years ago, it was a struggle doing 30 minutes. Like, literally, like, you know, it's like, oh, my God, you know, like, I didn't time my stuff out sometimes. So, like, I'd be on there, like, you in your mind for, like, a week, you could be like, okay, you can plan out to a T a 30-minute show. And then you can say everything you have to say in 10 minutes and be like, oh, shit, you know, shit like that.
Well, that's
now
how,
it's like 2 years later, I can do, yeah, I can do an hour in my sleep without even trying, it seems like sometimes. And then especially when you got good company on the show, too, and you just like, it all connects together. So, I mean, it's awesome. That's one thing I love about doing the show.
With you guys, I can go another 20 minutes.
Well, hey, on Wednesdays now, bro, you're part of the team now. You might be an intern for now, but or you can move up. Or what's the MCs call them?
There's room for growth, bro.
Yeah, there's room for growth. So intern ain't a cool name. We need to give them a cool name. Like, intern just sounds too snowflakey, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, we need, like,
intern.
A prospect. You're a prospect. How's that? That sounds cool?
No.
Yeah,
you know.
Nope.
Not there.
Yeah. No. All right, fine. We'll stick with intern.
Yeah, that sounds more professional
a
than prospect. Prospecting. We're not getting into that.
You're a prostern?
Hold on. Prostitute?
Prostitute? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you are a prostitute.
Is my number, guys? My number's on the bottom of the screen.
Yeah.
You'll be turning tricks on the corner. The rest in the world.
All for good.
My number's in the comments. My number's in the comments. I'm the prostitute.
But, yeah, bro, for sure. You're going to have to start being on the shows, man. So you're welcome to the Roast in the World family. We have a Thanksgiving dinner every year. I don't pay for it, so whatever. But yeah, besides that, guys, it's been an awesome episode. Everybody tune in Friday for an episode of King's Court. We're going to be doing a 4th of July special. You guys can come on if y'all want. If not, it's no biggie.
Okay.
We're just won't be doing an episode of Ask Me Levice on Monday due to the 4th, but probably do one maybe Tuesday. So be on the lookout for that, or maybe even one Sunday. I'll get in touch with Lacey and find out what's going on with that. Next Wednesday, of course, we'll be doing another episode of The Stash. So everybody, you can just change Wednesdays to Weed Days, and that's how we roll around here. And with that being said, remember, always roast the world. Why? Because the world needs roasting. Is there anything you guys want to add to this before we end the show?
Nope.
Well, we lost Danny Tokes already, so he's gone.
In the words of
Danny Tokes, I want to say... yeah, thank you. It's been a great episode. Other words Danny Tokes would say. Let's everybody go get high. All righty then, guys. Awesome. And once again, thank you, Johnny Buds, for coming on. And to see you next week, man. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. And catch all the other shows coming out this week.